We turn to our scripture. We'll be looking at Romans chapter 7, starting with the 14th verse. Now please bear with me as I read this, as this is one of the more difficult passages to read aloud. While we don't have all the names in here, we need to read carefully, so just listen and read yourself. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So, I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who can rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask now that your Holy Spirit might make clear its meaning and application to our lives, or that we would know what it is you're saying to us, and what it is you would have us to be doing. Lord, I ask that you would touch each person who's here this morning, whether they are a new believer or someone who has believed for longer than I've been alive. Lord, that each one would receive something fresh and new this morning, as if this is the first time they've heard it spoken. Might they revel in that newness, and might they receive it fresh. Might it encourage them and give them what it is they need to carry on until that day. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I speak, I could step aside and you could come forward. That would be your words and truth which is laid forth. In your name, which is lifted up and glorified. Lord, we pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Did you know there's a war going on, a war within yourself? Any of you experienced it? I know I have. I think this is a common thing for all who've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. These words, I do not understand what I do. And I know what I'm supposed to do. And I know what I'm not supposed to do. I know what it is that God wants me to do. I know what it is that God doesn't want me to do. But yet I find myself over here doing these things that I know I'm not supposed to do, and I know God doesn't want me to do. I know are bad for me on so many different levels. Yet I find myself over there more often than I ought. I'm sure none of you do. That's probably just me. If you can relate with that, because Paul does. Paul, whom many consider to be one of the people who walked closest with Jesus, even though he never walked this earth with Jesus side by side, he walked this earth with Jesus living within. Paul, who was stoned for his testimony of Jesus being the Christ, of the message of the gospel. Paul, who went to trial for his testimony. Paul, who sacrificed so much. He's the one who writes these words. I do not understand what I do. For to do what I do not do, but what I hate to do. And you go, huh? He's just saying, I find myself doing things I know I don't want to do. But yet I slip into that sin. There are several important things that we can pick out of this passage to be encouragements to us. One is that sin is no longer part and parcel within us. Paul isn't identifying himself as being sin. He says, I got this thing kind of living within me. It's in my members. He means like in his hands. He finds that he's doing things. His actions. But it's separate from his identity of who he is. He is not sin. But there's sin that's somehow an invader living within him. It's not supposed to be there. But yet it's kind of snuck in, or it hasn't never got kicked all the way out. It somehow find a foothold that keeps coming and trying to get into his life and take over bits and pieces of it. But we see that sin isn't Paul. Paul's not saying, I am sin. He's saying, sin has invaded me. And he says later, I need to be rescued from it. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Who? That's Jesus. But he understands the fact that he can't do it on his own. One of the people whom is held up as a super saint of the church, Paul, the apostle, the guy who touched dead people and they got up. Paul did that through the ministry of the Holy Spirit working through him. It wasn't Paul. It was the Holy Spirit that did it. Paul has recognized the fact that he needs to be rescued from sin. Even after he has the Holy Spirit living within him, he still has this battle going on, this onslaught is continuously coming. Why is that happening? Because currently we are still living in a fallen world. The kingdom of God is at hand, but is not yet. This is still the enemy's playground. He is still the ruler of this place. See, we're no longer citizens of the earth. We are citizens of the kingdom of God when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, "You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of God's glory." Until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Until. Okay, the Holy Spirit is here as a promise, a guarantee. It's going to happen. It's kind of like a month ago. Will and Amy said, "We got a house." But they didn't. They were still living in the apartment. It took time for that to go through. They had to go through closing and a bunch of stuff. There's a whole bunch of things that had to happen before they actually got into the house. And we got them into the house yesterday. Are they really into the house yet? Well, no, they still got some stuff on the apartment. Some cleanup that needs to be done there. And they got a lot of cleanup and unpacking and stuff that needs to happen at the house. So even so, they're still kind of in the midst of two worlds. And that's kind of where we are. Once we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have that promise of the inheritance. We're made citizens of the kingdom of God. But we don't live there. Not all the time. Sometimes we walk really close. Sometimes it seems like we are kind of there, but most of the time we're here on this earth walking in, living other than in the kingdom of God. In order to get there, we need someone who will rescue us and take us there. We need that rescuing. Another point that we see here is that we have sin working within us, but we see that sin, there's nothing in sin that is good. And we all nod our head and say, "Yeah, that's right, nothing in sin that's good." But any of us ever gotten in the, tried to do something bad or that is sinful for a good reason? I'm not asking you to put your hand up, but maybe. You know it's wrong, but you know, if I do this, it'll make things better. It's a trap. It's a lie of the enemy. You know, if I tell this person this thing, even though I know it's not true, it'll kind of smooth things over. We'll be able to move on. They'll never find out. Of course they do. And then things kind of blow up. Well, that's a landmine that Satan lays when he gets us to fall in the trap of thinking that somehow we can use sin for good. You can't use sin for good. God can. We can't. Okay? Let's make that clarification. God can use all things for the glory of His name. But we can't. I can't say, well, I'm not even going to suggest a sin. But I cannot go and do something which is sinful in an attempt to bring about something which is good and expect to receive a blessing out of that. God may use it to bless somebody else or do something, or it may do something, but I can't do God's work through the act of sin. That's a lie of the enemy, which trips us up all the time. At least trips me up. And I've seen others. So we're not sin. We have this invader sin living within us, and it tries to trick us into doing things. Those are called tactics and strategy, where you got the strategy where you're getting out there and you're doing, okay, we're going to do this, and the tactics where the fight. And things just don't work out the way we thought they were going to work out. Why? Because sin trips us up. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. When I'm in sin, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. I know what it is I want to do, but I'm not doing it. How can I do it? By going to the rescuer. If I try to do it on my own, if I try to do it, you know what? It's not going to make it. It's not going to happen. If you try to do it on your own, in your strength, you may be stronger than me, but you're still not strong enough. You may even get away with it for a little while. But eventually, you're going to go down. I am a very strong swimmer. But I'm not anywhere in the shape like I used to be. But I have learned how to swim in such a manner where I can rest. You could throw me in a relatively warm body of water, come back 6 hours later, I'll still be there. I won't drown. You come back 6 days later and I will have drowned. Now you take somebody else, you take them out there, you throw them in that body of water, and you come back 6 hours later, they may well have drowned. If you would have come back 5 minutes later, they might have already gone down. There's a limit to what all of us can do, what we can do on our own. If you take me out and drop me in here where I'm so far away, it's not possible for me to get to shore. I need to be rescued. That's where we are. We are all at the point where we need rescuing. And our rescuer is Jesus. Jesus, and Paul says here, Christ. So Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one who brings salvation, our Lord, the one who owns us, the one to whom we are to answer. So I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of man. As long as I allow that sinful nature to go unhindered, I am a slave to it. And it's going to keep on attacking me. So what I need to do is to die to it, as we've talked about earlier. We need to kill it. We need to poison it. How do you kill it and how do you poison it? That sinful nature. You do that which it cannot exist in. You read the Word. You pray. You sing hymns and songs of worship. You work in fellowship with other Christians, doing what God has directed. You create an environment which is amicable to sin, one in which it will not thrive and grow, but one in which it will wither and die. It's the body of Christ, the church. We're supposed to come together and encourage one another and help one another in this. To create that environment. Sometimes the church is actually the problem, though. In our receiving Sue and Kevin into membership this morning, it spoke about how they should find all that's to be expected in the body of Christ here and not to be finding these other things. It's true for everybody. But yet we allow these other things sometimes to get in. We need to have that spiritual house cleaning every now and again. Where we look for it, we identify it, we target it, and remove it. How can we know what it is? Well, we go back to God's Word. We go back to prayer. We go back to worshiping and working and loving one another. For therein lies the basis of all the commands of God. Love one another. We're to love God first, and then after that, love one another. That's it. And in that environment, we are living much closer than as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, as opposed to being citizens of the kingdom of heaven and living in the country of sin. So this morning, I just encourage you, don't try to do it on your own. Know that you are at war, and at war, you need the entire army to be with you. And you need to be following the direction of the commander in chief. Jesus is our commander. The body of Christ are the other soldiers. We don't try to do it alone, we do it together. And then we can do what it is we wish to do. Because it's Christ within us who leads the way and gives us the strength that we can do it together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you give us encouragement, Lord. We thank you for the transparency that Paul has put in these words. That we know that even one who was so close to you struggled and battled with sin. That it was an invader into his life too. Just as it invades ours. Lord, might we not get trapped by the enemy into thinking that doing what he wants us to do, we can somehow do what it is you would have us to do. Might we see that the two cannot be compatible. Yeah, that it's only by following your will, guidance, and direction. That we can walk true. As true citizens of your kingdom, as true children of God. Father, help us to walk together with each other. Help us walk together with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as